Golagay, good morning. There are four different Karen greetings for different times of the day, and I have managed to butcher all of them, but I get Golagay, Halagay, Nalagay, and Nilagay. Yes, but probably not in that order either. O night divine, O holy night, young woman gave birth to a son, and the world was changed. For the last 5 weeks, we've been having testimonies of people that birth, 2,000 years ago, changed their lives. Yes, Bernie. Yes, Sylvester, Jacques, Luebu, and today, Hannah Friesen is going to give her testimony. You know, there's a beautiful symmetry in the Bible. If you, only the master, only a truly God could do it. You know, make the beginning match the end. The beginning, we were in a garden in the presence of God, enjoying him. And the end, we're in a garden city in the presence of God, enjoying him as well. It's absolutely lovely. And we find around this, the birth of Christ, there's a lovely symmetry. In the garden, the wife listened to the enemy, her husband followed, and the world fell into chaos. With the Christmas story, the wife listened to God, her husband followed, and life came back to the world. Amen? There's times when Christianity has been accused of being a patriarchal, misogynistic, woman-hating religion, and that is anything but the case. As we will see this morning, a young woman of seeming no account changes the world by her yes to God, and it's absolutely delightful. Please follow along. We are going to mainly read. It's going to be a shorter message, and then I'm going to invite Hannah to give her testimony. We're going to read Luke, in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, from verse 26 to 56. So if you want to open that and get that there, we'll be getting to that in a few moments. Mary, she's famous to us now, but she certainly wasn't in her day. We know her as the mother of Jesus, the promised deliverer and king of Israel and their Messiah. But she didn't know that this king Messiah she was going to give birth to was more than that. She didn't know that he was going to be the savior of all who will say yes. She didn't know he was going to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. She didn't know that he was going to be the judge of all humankind at the end of time. She didn't know that she was giving birth not just to the Messiah, but God in the flesh. All that was still future to her when she said yes to God. We don't know her exact age. Many have said she was very young, maybe an early teen, but we know we can guess roughly an age group, maybe somewhere from her mid-teens to her very early 20s. And her circumstance, it was a little different than we understand. She was betrothed. That's the old word of use it. She was engaged to a man named Joseph. Now, betrothal is like engagement, but it's not. For those of you who haven't had this in Bible school, our engagements get made and broken almost at will, and there's no legal documentation that goes along with it. Hearts are broken, but nothing legal happens. However, an engagement, a betrothal in his day, in Joseph and Mary's day, was legal and binding, and the only way out of one of these engagements was with a divorce. If you were going to get married, if you were a young man, your parents or an agent acting on behalf of your parents would go to a suitable bride's family and start negotiations for a bride. Now, many have said that's because women were bought and sold like chattel, and it's not like that at all. We have a misinformed idea, really, of what families were like back then. They were like small businesses or teams. And when you lost a member of your team to another team, you lost a worker. You lost a member of that small business. And so that's why a dowry or a bride price was paid. You go and said, we'd like your daughter for our son. And in compensation, here are some animals or some money or food, or we'll make an agreement for you in order that she might come and be part of our small business. So that's what the bride price was about. And that was seriously negotiated. And once that was negotiated, there was an engagement, a betrothal, a formal agreement that could only be broken by divorce. And the whole community would know about it. It's much like a wedding within this church. When Bless gets married, everybody will know about it. When Mike and Chantel got married, everybody knew about it, right? It's a big event in a small town. Leave Bless alone. Okay. Thanks, honey. I'm just a big Bless Len fan. Anyways. I'll do negotiations for a bride price for him. I'll get a good price for him. Okay. So, the betrothal happened, and then usually at least a year elapsed between the beginning of the engagement and the wedding. On the day of the wedding, the groom and his friends and his family would go to the house of the bride, partying and celebrating all the way. Lots of happiness. The big day has come. They'd pick up the bride and her family and would proceed back to the groom's house, partying and celebrating all the way. The whole community knew. And then the marriage would come. And they didn't actually have a pastor or a priest officiate and say vows. It was more the benedictions, the blessings of the families, much like Pastor Paul did at his daughter Abby's wedding. Blessings would be upon the marriage. It would be consummated sometime within that week. And then there was a week of village partying for this wedding. Big, big deal. So what you need to know is Mary is visited by the angel sometime between the engagement and the wedding, and she's going to get pregnant. And you can imagine that this might upset things a little bit. So I want to pick up the scene. So we're about to come to the angel's visitation of Mary. What you need to know, just before this, the same angel, Gabriel, had visited her relative. And we don't know what relation it is, but her relative, Elizabeth, who was older than her. My guess would be probably late 20s, early 30s, married to a priest, Zachariah, and they had been unable to conceive, which in their culture was a great sorrow and pain and even shame. And the angel Gabriel had come and said to Zachariah, you will have a son. And who was that son going to be? John the Baptist. John the Baptist is actually a relative of Jesus. It's pretty cool. So we'll pick up the story there. Luke chapter 1, verse 26 through 56, we'll be reading. I love this picture because it kind of captures her, doesn't it? Little tentative, something fantastic is happening. The angel Gabriel has appeared to her. She's probably a little terrified, a little unsure, but her faith is big enough that she stays engaged with Gabriel. Here's the story. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." And then, of course, Mary asked the question that any woman would. Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I am a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month, for the word of God will never fail." And then this line, burn this into your heart. This is Mary's yes to God. Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her. So she journeys to Elizabeth, and I love this picture too because I think it captures the wonder and delight and overwhelming joy they would have felt together at this miracle of God that had happened to both of them. A few days later, Mary hurried to the hill country of Judea, to the town where Zechariah lived. She entered the house and greeted Elizabeth. At the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's child leaped within her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth gave a glad cry and exclaimed to Mary, "God has blessed you above all women, and your child is blessed. Why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord should visit me? When I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb leapt for joy." And here's the other statement I want you to burn into your heart. You are blessed because you believe that the Lord would do what he said. Amen. My friends, he has promised you life, and he will do it. As surely as Elizabeth and Mary were pregnant and gave birth to sons, you too have the life that God has promised. He promised it, he will do it. And so when great things happen, humans do what humans do, and they burst forth in song. And Mary came up with this beautiful song called the Magnificat, which actually comes from the word, "My soul praises the Lord" in Latin. Soul magnifies the Lord. Mary responded, "Oh, how my soul praises the Lord, how my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. For he took notice of his lowly servant girl, and from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the mighty one is holy, and he has done great things for me. He shows mercy from generation to generation to all who fear him. His mighty arm has done tremendous things. He has scattered the proud and haughty ones. He has brought down princes from their thrones and exalted the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away with empty hands. He has helped his servant Israel and remembered to be merciful, for he made this promise to our ancestors, to Abraham and his children forever." She looks back 2,000 years and said, "Yes, God, what you said to Abraham and what he believed has now come true in this child in my womb." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then went back to her own home. I wonder what their conversation was like. To be visited by the angel Gabriel and told that the children in your womb are going to change the world, are the long prophesied herald of the coming king and the coming king himself. Mary said yes. She said, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." That's yes. That's a considered, sobered yes. She'd listened to what God was going to do and then said, "Let it happen in my life." I suppose she could have said no. But she said yes, and she said yes with enthusiasm. And Elizabeth sums up what that yes brings. You are blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said. It was reckoned to Abraham as faith when God took him outside and he said, look up at these stars. You will have as many children as there are stars in the sky. And it said, Abraham believed the Lord, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Yes is believing God can do what he said he would do. And you don't need to be somebody great to believe God. The humblest of servant girls. We know she probably came from a fairly poor family. She knew God and his promises that he would deliver Israel from oppression. Remember, they're under the thumb of the Romans. And bring justice, peace, and prosperity to all those who look to him. That's what the Messiah was going to do. She believed that. And her yes led to incredible joy. She said yes to God, was filled with the Spirit, and then she had this wonderful fellowship with someone else who said yes. Isn't that true? When you say yes and you sense God moving with you, when you find someone else who's moving with the Holy Spirit, you're going, yeah, this is good. God has met us both. There's some delight in that union. And that led to singing and joy because our yes overflows and blesses others. Our yes fills us with God's joy, and our yes, your yes and my yes, is how God changes the world. Her yes led her to something far bigger than she imagined. She thought she was just giving birth to the king who would kick out the Romans and bring back the kingdom of David and Solomon. But her yes opened salvation for all of humanity, for the redemption of all creation. The yes of this simple young woman is leading to the renewal of the heaven and earth. Her son wasn't just the king of Israel, but the creator of the world. And this, her yes led her into confusion and sorrow. If anybody ever tells you, give your life to God and things will be wonderful, meaning good all the time, they're not telling you the truth. She said yes to God, and then she gets pregnant in the middle of her engagement. That's pretty confusing, isn't it? Her pregnancy happens in a small town, so she disappears for 3 months off to see Elizabeth. You know, we used to have, when we had a different level of shame in our society, homes for unwed young mothers because it was considered a shame. Well, this was a small village, and people would have talked, and Mary's got a bump. She went away for 3 months, and she's come back. So either Mary's character and virtue are in question, and does that mean Joseph's character and virtue are in question, or does it mean that Jesus' father was someone else? Is Jesus going to be illegitimate? Is he, the old word is bastard son? The shame. She said yes to God, and then this aroma of shame followed her. And we kind of can pick it up by some of the questions they ask about Jesus' lineage. They're wondering, is Joseph really your dad? Okay. But we remember how when you got pregnant back then. So she said yes to God. And they're not all getting it. He didn't appear to the whole village and said, this woman will have a child by the Holy Ghost and he will be the Messiah for all. He just appeared to Mary. And he talked to Joseph in a dream. Her yes led to confusion. And then think of this. She had years to reflect on what had happened to her and her family. She had, with Joseph, at least 6 other children. She has 4 named sons, and it says sisters, so at least 2. So with Jesus, that's at least 7. She's got a big family. So she said, yes, and I've got the Messiah, but she's in the middle of diaper changing and running this crazy busy household of many children running around. And things are kind of silent. This son, Jesus, is unique. And they find he's unique. We only get little snippets of his life. At age 12, he's in the temple in Jerusalem, and somehow this young man knows the scriptures and knows God and senses he's at home in his father's house when he's in the temple. So she thinks about these things. And he grows, and he's working with Joseph. And aside from the magi that came at his birth and the shepherds who greeted his birth, no one's coming. Officials aren't coming from Jerusalem to check out this new king, descendant of David. So she's thinking about these things. And she has 3 decades to think about these things. And somewhere in Jesus' 30 years, before he's 30 years old, his father Joseph dies. So Joseph is a hero too. Read Matthew, Joseph's the hero of the birth narratives. Read Luke, Mary's the hero. We get the 2 pictures of this fine couple. But somehow Joseph, who's had these dreams and knows about this child, does not get to see them come to fulfillment. You know, they must have been talking about their son all along. And Joseph, we assume he dies. And so she sorrows. Joseph never gets to see Jesus come into his kingdom, on this earth. And God's work is taking decades. It's worth pondering. When you say yes to God and start following him, sometimes it takes decades for his work to unfold. And there's lots of confusion. And, you know, sometimes we think this is the way things should turn out. It must make sense and go this way. I've said yes to God. These are going to happen. I know the promises. And then they don't. Does that mean God has forgot his promises? No. But it does mean that we can't see into the future. And as Jesus comes into ministry, she sees the things all along that she's expected. I mean, he does that miracle at the wedding in Cana and makes vast quantities of delicious wine. And then she knows that he casts out demons and he heals the sick. And he does all these miracles, but she thought he was going to be the king in the place of David and get rid of the Romans. And where is the army he's raising? And where is the recognition of his kingship? And instead he's healing and he's preaching and he's telling people to repent. Why is he not getting the Romans away? And all these people are flocking around him because you touch him and you're healed. And so she thinks he's out of his mind, and talking with her sons, born after Jesus, they decide they need to go take care of him. He's got off the rails. So here's Mary, who's seen the angel Gabriel, heard the promises, seen the miracles come through, and yet seen all this confusion. She thinks she has to intervene and get Jesus back on track. How much like our lives is it? I recognize myself here. And so she's given herself to this, and the 3 decades have gone by, and now Jesus is in his ministry, but it's not looking like it should. And yet he carries on, and then comes that day. Then comes that day. The day that no mother should have to endure. When she and her good friend of her son, John, follower, watch Jesus, as the Romans he was supposed to cast out, as the religious authorities who were supposed to recognize him as the son of David, as the new king, as they torture him and nail him to a rough wooden cross, and as a mother who's had the promises of God through the angel Gabriel, she watches her son's life drain from her. It's possible to follow God faithfully, believing in his promises, and end up at the very bottom, in sorrow that you could not have imagined. Would she have said yes, knowing this day was coming? I don't know. 3 days later, this day came. 3 days later, this day came, and actually it made sense to her. It went click. I've got it now. I've got it now. I've got it now. All this from her saying yes. And then we find this lovely scene in the book of Acts, in the first chapter, verse 14. Mary with the rest of the believers meeting together. They all met together and were constantly united in prayer, along with Mary, the mother of Jesus, several other women, and the brothers of Jesus. Over 30 years after she said yes, after sorrow and confusion that you could not have imagined, it came to pass. What God had said, He will do. But it wasn't an easy journey. Saying yes to God will give you a joy as you line up your purposes with God, which are to renew this heaven and earth. And we have the delight of looking back at the lives of the ancient heroes, of Abraham, who said he would have a child when he was a senior citizen, of Moses, who could not speak, who led the people through the Red Sea, and of Mary, who believed God could do what he said he would, and yet had to wait these years till her son came back to life and ascended to heaven. We can look back. He has said yes and made good promises to all of you. And when you say yes to him, you can be sure that he will carry it through. But in the meantime, it may lead to much confusion and sorrow and doubt and pain. It may take years for his promises to make sense to you. But yes is always the door to life. When we say yes to God, it lines us up with his purposes. I like to think of saying yes to God as kind of like going to the spiritual chiropractor. It says all humans are kind of bent out of shape, and when you say yes to God, you line up with his purposes, which are to renew the heavens and the earth. And when you say yes to him, you become in line with what he is doing. You become part of the transformation of the earth. And when you say yes, new life is born not only in you, but it passes on to each other. Mary said yes, and new life literally came into her womb. When you say yes, you become pregnant with the promises and hope of God. It doesn't mean that you will not have doubts. Mary's yes opens us to the possibility of rejoicing with others who are also saying yes to God. And recently, for a number of us, it has been our delight to watch the transformation. I'm sorry, Bernie, I'm going to use you again. But Bernie said yes to God. Bernie said yes to forgiveness and letting go of the strings that he'd been holding on to. And as that joy came into him, it bubbles out on us. And for those of us in our Alpha class, it's just so fun to be around Bernie because yes is contagious. And I can point around to other people in this congregation who said yes to God. We all laughed and smiled when Shay was baptized. And he said yes to that long-haired young man. Hey, Shay. Hey, foyer people. He said yes to God, and the joy in Shay's life overflows onto us, as does Corbin's, as does every one of us who sees our children or our friends baptized. That joy flows over, does it not? Yes brings us into the fellowship with other people who are saying yes. The Holy Spirit pours out of us when we say yes. God asks you to say yes because he wants life for you. And yes is the antidote to no. Oh, we're often pictured, and when they characterize Christianity, it's the no, you can't do this. No, you can't do that. But what it is it's a yes rather than a no. So, it's not no, don't have premarital sex. Don't screw around. It's yes to the joys of fidelity and having that new life and that relationship that carries no strings with it, no sorrows and no previous attachments. It's yes to holiness. It's yes to purity. We say, it's not saying no to, I won't spend too much time on the internet, or I won't be addicted to alcohol, or I won't snort that coke. It's yes to a sober mind. It's yes to being present with other people. God's yes is what triumphs. It's yes that leads us forward. The yes leads to no, because the yes is the door to life. Amen? Yes is yes to more life, more time with your family, more joy, more passing other life on to others. God asks us to say yes to us because he loves us. Every yes leads to more life. Yes, there might be confusion down that path, but there's more life. Yes is partnering with God. And he looks for yes. What is he asking you to say yes to today? What has he been tapping you on the shoulder and whispering in your ear? My son, my daughter, come this way with me. He never forces. He may allow circumstances to create what seems like no other opening, but it's still always an invitation. Will you say yes to him today? Will you allow your will to be lined up to his? Will you soften your heart to that yes which leads to life? Let me pray for you. And allow some silence, because you can be sure of this, God is speaking to each of you and me all the time. What is he inviting you to say yes to? Father, you've called us to be a community of those who say yes, sometimes even with a little fear and confusion. But we've seen you to be faithful. We have the history of those who've gone before us, whom you've rewarded with an entrance into your eternal kingdom, who will be joining us on this new heaven and new earth. Give us the courage. Fill us with your spirit. Give us the strength from one another to say yes to what you're doing in our lives. In the name of Jesus, who was came as a result of Mary's yes, we ask and give you thanks. Amen. Hannah Friesen, I'm going to say Perillo, said yes to me when I invited her to give her testimony. But she actually said yes to God. Now, as Hannah comes up, I just want to review. We've been doing Advent testimonies for the last, come on up, Hannah, for the last for actually a little over a month. Because Advent, the coming of Jesus, was meant to change and transform lives. So we've had Advent testimonies. Almost all the testimonies so far have been for those who have not